So tonight, we're going to be looking at a very interesting, I think, subject. And that is, what happens when you die? And are you afraid of it? Now we're looking at Matthew chapter 26, starting at verse 31, and I'm not going to read all of the different parts of it, so when I skip, Pat may have to quick, you know, skip to different places and stuff.
I didn't realize that he decided to skip some.
The idea is just to give you an idea of what we're looking at here. I think most of us are aware of this situation. Then Jesus said to them, "Tonight all of you will run away because of me, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I've been resurrected, I will go ahead of you to Galilee." And Peter told him, "Even if everyone runs away because of you, I will never run away." "I assure you," Jesus said to him, "tonight before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." "Even if I have to die with you," Peter told him, "I will never deny you." All the disciples said the same thing. And now we're going to move down to 47 and see if that worked out.
Just a sec. Okay.
Got it? Yeah. Okay. While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, suddenly arrived. A large mob with swords and clubs was with him from the chief priests and elders of the people. His betrayer had given him a sign. "The one I kiss, he's the one, arrest him." So he went right up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. "Friend," Jesus asked him, "why have you come?" Then they came up, took hold of Jesus, and arrested him. At that moment, one of them, with Jesus, reached out his hand and drew his sword. He struck the high priest's slave and cut off his ear. And then we move down to 69. Okay. Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. A servant approached him, and she said, "You were with Jesus the Galilean too." But he denied it in front of everyone. "I don't know what you're talking about." When he'd gone out the gateway, another woman saw him and told those who were there, "This man was with Jesus the Nazarene." And again he denied it with an oath, "I don't know the man." After a little while, those there approached and said to Peter, "You certainly are one of them, since even your accent gives you away." Then he started to curse and swear with an oath, "I do not know the man," and immediately a rooster crowed. And Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken, "Before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times." And he went outside and wept bitterly. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. Help us to understand it and show us what it should mean to us. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, when I first did this sermon once before, I used an example, which I'm going to try to get through very quickly because people didn't like the example. When I first was diagnosed with diabetes, it was because I had been watching TV commercials that said, "Do you pee all the time?" And so I said, "Yes, I do." And they all said, "Well, you probably have an overactive bladder or prostate problems." So I go in so the doctor could tell me about my overactive bladder and my prostate problems. If you go to the doctor and you tell him you're peeing all the time, frequent urination, they call it, nothing else you say will penetrate the doctor at all.
No.
The first thing he wants to do is give you a test to find out if you have diabetes. Mm-hmm. And when they do that is that if you pee in a cup mm-hmm. and if there's sugar in it, then you've got diabetes mm-hmm. because you should not get sugar in your urine. Mm-hmm. It should be taken out by your kidneys. And
yep.
Now, then they check your blood. Well, they checked my blood, and they almost lost their minds because I had a 475. Now, you're supposed to be somewhere around 100. So I was about almost 4 3/4 times what I was supposed to be. So they said...
What did you eat?
Yes, they didn't ask me. What had happened was that I had actually had a big pizza from Sbarro and a lot of...
And a big Coke.
You know, and so I had driven it way up there. But, so then they call me in, and they want, you know, tell me, okay, you're going to have all of these insulin shots and all of this stuff you're going to have to do. And I said, no, it's going to happen. Mm-hmm. I've always said that. I'm not giving myself shots. No way. Won't do it. We'll put you in a room, and we won't let you out until you gave yourself the shot. Well, then you'll come in 6 months later and find a skeleton with a needle in his hand. Not going to happen. Right? Later on, I found out if you have this nice little... love handle, that's fat, and fat has no nerves. So you can poke that, and you can't even feel it. So at any rate, she's telling me, look, this stuff can kill you, and I said, I don't care. And she goes, what do you mean you don't care? I said, I know Jesus. If I die, I go be with him. She says, well, maybe you'll go blind and we'll cut off both of your legs. Now she has my attention. Okay? Now the thing is here, I am not afraid to die. But I'm terrified it's going to hurt. I have always said that. I was in combat situations, and I thought that the New People's Army in the Philippines were going to kill me. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm going to die. And then I realized I wasn't worried about it because I was going to go be with Jesus. But then I thought, this is going to hurt. You know, I used to have a friend, he would talk about people falling out of airplanes, and he said it would be very, very painful for a very, very short period of time. Well, this wasn't going to be a short period of time. But at any rate, I realized I'm not afraid of dying. I'm afraid of how to get dead. And it's not going to be pleasant. So, I don't care. I don't really like it here. This is not a fun place to be. But I stay here because the Lord has things for me to do. So, what about Peter? Well, the thing with Peter, if you look at the little things we read, first of all, Peter was totally ready to die. He was not in a big pit afraid of dying. Wasn't really afraid that it was going to hurt that much. He says, I'll never run away. I'll die with you. It's not a big deal. And it turns out that if we look in John, when we see this same thing in John chapter 18, it says, then Simon Peter, who had a sword, drew it and struck the high priest's slave and cut off his right ear. The slave's name was Malchus. So you see, he was going to fight overwhelming odds. He didn't care. They can kill me. I'm not afraid of that. But then Jesus said, don't do it. put down your sword and stop this nonsense. And Jesus was carted away. Now he's confused. So he follows at a distance, and he hides outside. And when they say, "I know you, you're one of them," he goes, "No, I'm not. I don't want any part of this." Why? Why did he do that? Why did he change? He wasn't afraid to die. Well, what happened? Well, Jesus wouldn't let him die. He said, "Put down your sword and stop this." So he doesn't die. And he's not ready to live. See, he's confused because it's a new paradigm. We're looking at things in a new way. And now, we're not going to die. Now we're going to live. But it's going to hurt a lot. We're going to be well treated. We're going to have a lot of problems in our life. I don't like that. Fighting's the only way he knows. Let's just have a battle. They can kill me. I'll be over. That's fine. I can do that. But that's not what Jesus wants him to do. So what's the application to us? Well, dying is easy. Living is hard. That's the whole point. They actually had a thing on TV called the film Nikita. And they were having this thing. And if you pissed off the people running this, they had what they called cancel. They just canceled you. You'd be killed. And this one guy was thinking he's going to get canceled. And she said, "Who cares? Dying is easy. Living is hard." We come face to face with a new paradigm and we freak out. I don't know if I can do that. I'm into fight or flight. I'm not in standing here and get beat up. This is just not the way that I look at things. So where are you? There are three places you could be. Not ready to die. Everybody intuitively knows there's something that comes after this. We cannot envision not existing. That's a famous thing that they actually, back in the 1500s, some monk said that. You can imagine almost anything except you not being here. Descartes said, "I think, therefore I am." See, I can't prove anything in the world but my mind. I have to have my mind to imagine all the rest of you. But I can't prove you're even there. I could be having this tremendous delusion. And we got this thing in the Matrix where they're living and they're having a full life. And they're not. It's all imagination. Okay? But everybody knows there's something out there. Carl Reiner and Mel Brooks had a little thing they called the 2,000-year-old man. And they asked, "Well, so have you guys always believed in God?" And he said, "Well, no. There was this guy, Phil. And Phil was the biggest and the baddest, and he beat everybody up until one day he got hit by a lightning bolt and burned to a crisp. And we all looked up and said, there's something bigger than Phil." Well, that's it. We look up and we say, there's something bigger than us. There has to be. We're not ready for whatever's on the other side if we don't have assurances of what it is. If you're not ready, then you talk to one of us and we'll explain to you how to be ready. The second thing you can be is ready to die but not ready to live. That's where I was at one point. You can kill me, but don't let it hurt. I don't want this to be a hard thing, okay? Dying does not scare me. But being alive and crippled did. And as it says, I'm in this group, but I'm working on it. Yeah, okay? Pray for strength. Pray that you can Endure whatever the Lord has for you and study the Word of God. Let Jesus handle the details. And then we have the situation that comes up with the Apostle Paul in Philippians 1:21, where he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. I can do either one. Because I'm living for Christ, and if I'm dying, that's actually better. Connected to the source, ready to live, peace, but not as the world sees it. I always say that. Jesus said, I give you peace, but not the way the world sees peace. The world thinks of peace as an absence of conflict and problems. Jesus sees peace as the ability to get through it one way or another, trusting in Him. Yeah, I know. It's not an absence of strife, it's the ability to take it. You're assured of heaven and ready to die, and assured that Jesus is going to guide you and ready to live. Peter got it right in the end. Acts 5:28, he was called in to the Sanhedrin, and they're making all kinds of threats, and they're going to do this, and they're going to do that, and the other thing. And he says, didn't we strictly order you not to teach in this name? And look, you filled Jerusalem with your teaching, and you're determined to bring this man's blood on us. And then Peter says, is it better to obey you or to obey God? And in the end, Paul's teacher, Gamaliel, gets them all together and says, don't mess with these guys. If it's not of God, it'll just peter out. If it is of God, now you're fighting with God. This is not a good idea. So, let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here. We thank you that you will help us to live our lives, and you'll be there for us when the lives come to an end. Help us not to be afraid to die, not to be afraid to live, but ready to do whatever it is you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.